Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter number 6, verse 1, if you have your place standing on the reading of God's Word. The Bible says that he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples follow him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, "From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto him, "A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went around the villages teaching." I want to preach just a few minutes tonight, if God will be our help, on this thought. Unbelief in your hometown. Unbelief in your hometown. As we look at this and we see as it's playing out and the Lord's walking, and I love the book of Mark because the book of Mark is a book of action. It's immediately, it's forthwith, it's a none, it's right now, it's happening. Mark's telling us that Jesus Christ is a happening fella, amen. Jesus Christ is one that's getting things done. Jesus Christ was a man above among men, praise God. He was a head above all the rest of them because when the rest of them was trying to figure it out, I want to say tonight, Brother Scott, that Jesus already had the answers, amen, because he was the answer. I want to say tonight, if you've got any problems, if you need an answer tonight, I want to say, Lord Jesus Christ, he's your answer. When the ruler of the synagogue got his daughter, you see in Mark chapter 5, he come to get Jesus. His daughter was ill unto death, and when he come back, he said, "She's dead." Amen. Jesus took him in with him. He said, "Listen, she's not dead, but she's asleep." Amen. Listen. And they said, "Hey, well, the Bible said they liked him to scorn. They knew she was dead. She was just as dead could be. But I want to say that there's nothing dead till Jesus says it's dead. If Jesus said it's alive, praise God, it'll be alive forevermore. Amen. Glory to God. Somebody will jump up and shout. I feel down, good down in my soul. I'm glad, praise God, on March 19, 1976, Jesus said, "Saved my soul," and he said, "I become alive at night in Jesus, my Savior." Praise God, I'm going to be alive forevermore. Amen. There's a lot of people running around worried about dying, but praise God, I've done overstepped that. I went on past that. Praise God. Amen. I've already bypassed the grave, and there's a part of me already shouting on the streets of glory. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory. I didn't even know all that was there. Amen. Glory to God. What a God we serve. But he said he got the little girl, and he said a few words. She got up. Amen. I said she was about the age of 12 years old. She got up. She was able to walk, get around. He said, "Hey, give her something to eat." I believe God's got a sense of humor. Amen. So, "Hey, you old stiff necks. Amen." He said, "Listen, you said she's dead, praise God, but if you'll set something for her, praise God, that's young and lead." Amen. Hey, listen, I want to say something tonight, church. There may be a whole lot of folks saying that we're dead. There may be a whole lot of folks saying that you're dead. But praise God, I'm glad if you're a child of God and somebody put something from God in front of you, praise God, I guarantee you, you'll eat. Amen. I don't know about you, I will, praise God. I'll chow down. I'll gobble it up, praise God. Amen. I like it that way. Amen. I praise God. But God, the Lord says this thing's taking place. And what gets me in verse 43 of chapter 5, he said, "And he charged him straight, that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat." He said, "Don't tell nobody about it." Now this girl was dead. And now she's alive. This girl, maybe she hadn't eaten days because of her sickness. But now, praise God, they sat before her and she eats. And Jesus says, "Don't tell nobody." Amen. You know how to get tell started bigger than anything. Brother Junior, just tell somebody. Say, hey, let me tell you this, but don't tell nobody. Amen. And you say, oh, I won't. And as soon as they get on you, let me tell you what they what I do. Amen. She said, hey, don't tell nobody. Amen. And I got to thinking about this. Amen. Now I'm talking about unbelief in your hometown. The Bible said, then he went out from thence and came into his own country. So he leaves out of Capernaum. He goes to Nazareth, his hometown, where he grew up as a boy. Now I just wonder if Jesus, when he was telling this, amen, and he said, hey, listen, he said, just keep it to yourself. Don't tell nobody. If maybe he was wondering by the time he got back up the house, and word had got out about Jesus Christ of Nazareth and what he had been doing down in the country. Amen. I want to say, hey, listen, I'm starting to hear things getting out about Jesus Christ of Nazareth and what's getting on down in the country. Amen. You a preacher, yeah, what are you talking about? We're in a mess. This thing's all to pieces. Things are in disarray. Things are going in the wrong direction. Praise God. Hey, listen, it depends on who direction you're looking at. Amen. God Almighty ain't took by surprise on nothing. God Almighty knows exactly what's going on. God Almighty knows exactly where we are. God knows exactly what we need. And God Almighty will meet that need according to His purpose. Amen. I just say, glory to God, I'm glad I'm part of the purpose. Hey, listen, a lot of people, hey, maybe people get me getting sad about what's happening. Praise God, you're just saying, glory to God, I'm glad I'm part of a purpose. God has a purpose for me. Amen. Glory to God, just jump up, leap up, shout, and praise God because you're part of a purpose. Amen. Glory. Hey, and you ain't going nowhere. God's through with you. Amen. Part of a purpose, praise God. So the Bible says that he comes, amen, and he comes to his own country. Comes to Nazareth. And his disciples follow him. What are disciples supposed to do? What? Follow Jesus. Amen. Not just follow. Because we might follow the wrong fellow. Amen. But we got to follow. Disciples are disciples of Christ. We follow Christ. Amen. What was disciples doing? The Bible says, and his disciples follow him. Now notice this. It didn't say his disciples followed him. It didn't say his disciples might follow him. Didn't say his disciples would follow him. He said his disciples follow him. Amen. So that means what happens, what's happening here is Jesus Christ has done God some fellers. Amen. Praise God. It's decided and determined in our heart that they're just going to go with God. Amen, Brother Kevin. They ain't answering to nobody else. They ain't looking to nobody else. They're a fallen Lord Jesus Christ, and they're looking to Him. They're seeking the direction from Him. They're following. They're there to follow Him. Amen. So they begin out. They begin to go. And the Bible said that Jesus, He said when the Sabbath day was come, that He began to teach in the synagogue. Amen. He began to teach. Now, remember, they're in Nazareth. So he's done pulled in, Brother Junior, to his hometown. Done pulled into his hometown with his homeboys. Amen. And he's there to minister to his people. Amen. Praise God. Hey, listen, if it was the day and the hour that we're living in, amen, Jesus would have been a rock star, and people would have been coming from all over the place to see their native boy. Amen? Ain't it amazing how God's people just don't seem to want to work that way? We have somebody that we could follow. Listen, you youngins, praise God. You want to follow somebody, follow Jesus. You want to have a hero, praise God, follow Jesus. If you want to see Superman, praise God, look at Jesus. Amen. I told Miss Georgianne's little grandsons a few weeks ago, they was here, and I told them, they was talking something about Superman. I said, well, you know who the real Superman is, don't you? And their eyes got real big. I said, who? I said, I can tell you the real Superman. They said, who is he? I said, Jesus Christ. He's the real Superman. Amen. Well, after church, they went home and they told David. I mean, they told Ben. And they said, Daddy, said the preacher told us who the real Superman was. Said Ben looked at his mama. He said, what's that preacher up there telling them? So he lost his mind. He said, well, who is he? He said, it's Jesus. The real Superman is Jesus. Amen. I hope they take that to the grave with them, praise God. If they're ever going to idolize somebody, if they're ever going to have somebody look up to a Superman, praise God, it's Jesus. Amen. Amen. Jesus is my hero. Next to Jesus is Paul. Amen. And then there's them others that come along before Paul, but praise God, I don't know them as much because I've read more about Paul. Ain't it funny how in your Christian life there's some people that you read and study more about and you feel a relationship with them? Well, the one I have the relationship with the best is Jesus. Because I like that red writing. Amen. That's what he talks to me in my sleep. Amen. Because sometimes I wake up and say, oh, glory, Jesus is here. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And next to him, Paul. I read the writings of Paul. Praise God. I know where he brought Paul. But I can relate, can't you? Amen. But the Bible said Jesus went into the synagogue. And I'm talking about unbelief in your hometown. The Bible said he went into the synagogue, came into the synagogue, and he began to teach in the synagogue. Amen. He began to teach. And the Bible said they were astonished at the things that he had said. So why was such an astonishment at the thing? Have you ever wondered about that? Why are people so astonished at the things that come out of the Word of God? What's so astonishing? What's so amazing about the things that come out of the Word of God? Well, number one, they're the Word of God. Amen. That makes it exciting. But you know why it was so astonishing to them, so astounding to them, praise God? Because it was things that they didn't know. Amen. Why people have so much problem today with the Bible, with church, and with me and you, praise God, is something that they don't know. Amen? We're looking at this world today, and we're looking at it through a picture tube, and if we ain't careful, we'll take this side and that side. We all do it. Hello? Brother Bill, we'll say, boy, I'd like to go up there. Huh? We've all done it. Don't you look at me sanctimonious, praise God. We've all done it. I'd go up there. Give me about 30 minutes. Amen. Amen, praise God. We all would. But praise God, listen. And the only reason the world's in a mess is because they just don't know. Amen. The reason they deny and reject all that we believe and stand for is they just don't know. They don't know the one that we stand for. And Jesus began to go in there and he began to teach, amen, the precious oracles of God, and they just didn't understand. Amen. What's wrong with the world today? They just don't understand. Number one, they didn't know who Jesus was. Amen. Now, a boy grows up in the hometown, you'd think he'd know who he was, wouldn't you? Amen. You think of it, a relationship to him, and word had got back, amen, of everything they'd done, the kind of childhood he had when he was there. Can you imagine kind of the kind of kid that Jesus was? He was always kind and polite and nice. Said, yes, ma'am, yes, sir. Thank you and please. Amen. Youngins, are you hearing me? Amen. Good manners. Had good manners, praise God. He was a perfect child. But they didn't know who Jesus was. They didn't know who he was. And so they didn't know how to react to him. Amen? They just didn't know. They didn't know that they didn't know his power. They couldn't understand where his power come. He began to teach them the things of God, and they're saying, like, wow, where's this coming from? Amen. Jesus said he didn't speak nothing except that come from the Father. Amen. What He gives us, praise God, comes from an Almighty God. I won't say there is such a thing as God. Hello? Contrary to what the world wants us to believe today, praise God, there is a God and He's real.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. He is a God and He's real. He has all power. The Bible says in heaven and on earth. All the power is His. If you need to harness some power, praise God, just harness in with Him. Because He has the power, praise God, for us. He'll get us through. Praise God. A whole lot stouter than a team of horses. Amen. Praise God. You gotta be careful with things you get hooked up with. Amen. You can get hooked up something. You think, boy, that thing's stout. I'll just go with this bunch. Amen. They've got the power. Let me tell you a little story. There's a fella I had a little old sawmill. And it'd been raining, Brother Bill, for several weeks and months. And they was having a time at the sawmill. They couldn't figure out how to get them logs up on that sawmill. Praise God, they could saw them up because they had a little old skidder, a little old track thing, like a little dozer. But that thing wouldn't get no traction. They wasn't doing much good at all. They couldn't make no money, couldn't get a saw no log. People was wanting their lumber, praise God, and they couldn't get it out. Amen. And they thought, man, we got the power if we could just put it to the ground. They couldn't get no traction. But there's an old feller, had a couple of old horses, work horses, big old Clydesdales. And he told his son, he said, Charlie, go down there to the barn and hook up the horses and bring them up here. That fella said, you crazy. He said, if that skinner won't get them in there, them horses can't. Amen. So old Charlie went down there to the house. He hooked the daddy's horses. He brought them up there and said his daddy went to eased them in there. He backed them up to one of them logs and said, he just, get up. Said them horses, they leaned into them harnesses and them hanes. I pray God they buried their feet. Glory to God. They buried their feet down in that mud. Praise God. And they began to get traction. And they stood up on them toes of them hooves. Praise God. And that log began to move. And before you know it, praise God, they was putting them logs on that sawmill. And that old fella was a-smiling and a-grinning. And he was a-sawing that lumber. And he was coming out the other end. And praise God, he's going, glory, hallelujah. And I want to say, praise God, you got to be careful who you harness up with. Praise God. If you don't get the truth in the right action and put it where the rubber meets the road, praise God, it won't do you no good. Amen. But I'm glad there's a God of heaven, praise God. Amen. And I'm glad He's a part of who we are. And when we get the and when we put the traction, praise God, down where it works for us, we can move mountains. Amen. Praise God. Makes it happen because God's able. He has the power. Amen. We just got to figure out how to harness that power. Sometimes people, especially us Christians, we're kind of like a little old butterfly. Amen. We're just kind of like them little old monarchs. You know, they come out of their little cocoon after they're an old nasty worm. Amen, Brother Robert. Amen. To go in that cocoon, praise God, what we did, God, that grave of the Lord Jesus Christ, we come out a beautiful butterfly. Magnificent creatures. Amen. They get out there and they get their little wings out. They get them dried off a minute and they go to flutter and off they go. But you ever watch a butterfly fly? It just... It's almost like somehow or another there's not a good balance there. Amen. God made them that way. But they and bless their hearts, they get in the road. And you come along and you try to dodge. They don't live but just a few days. Amen. And you try to dodge them. And the vacuum from the car just sucks them right into the radiator. And then that beautiful butterfly, praise God. He's born, he's magnificent, he's beautiful. But and he gets there and he gets the flying, but he just don't have the power to get out of the way of obstacles. Amen. I want to say tonight, praise God, me and you don't have the power to get out of the way of the obstacles that's coming at us, praise God. But God Almighty has the power to move us out of the way, to put us where He happens to be, to keep us safe, amen, for His glory.
Amen.
Amen. Praise His holy name. They didn't realize the power. They didn't know who He was. They didn't realize the power. And they didn't understand His wisdom. Did you ever think about the wisdom of God? Just think about it a minute. The wisdom of God. Now, it wasn't Jesus Christ, God, manifest in the flesh. Amen. So He had the same wisdom as the Father. He said, I and the Father are one. In other words, what that means, Brother Joe, is there's no difference in us. Amen? So he had all wisdom. He had all power, not only had all power, but he had all wisdom. They were wondering how come he was so strong. How come he how he had such wisdom? Amen. Because he was God. They didn't understand. They didn't recognize who he was. You say, what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying this. Like a whole lot of the world around us today that don't realize who Jesus is. Amen. They don't realize where we are and why we take the stand we do, praise God, because they don't know who Jesus is. They've never been engulfed in His Word, praise God, and had the Word poured out on them, amen, and they get excited about who Jesus is. Praise God, where they want to know more about Him. Praise His holy name. So we see Jesus, He begins to teach them, and they were astonished at Him and all the mighty works that was wrought with His hands. Now Jesus was not just a sayer, but He was a doer. Amen. Hello, church. He was not just a sayer, He was a doer. Amen. He was there to put His words to work. James would tell it. Let me just read that to James chapter number 2. James chapter number 2, verse 16. He said, one of you say, let's just go back to 14. He said, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked, destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto him, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, amen, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? So what have you accomplished? He said, even so, faith is, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Amen? What Jesus was showing them here, praise God, He was showing them faith that works. Amen? He was saying it. And then He was going out and putting hands on it. He said, well, here it is. Amen? Praise God. That's what God did. I told you a couple years ago, me and a fellow was discussing some things. He's talking about his family, his children and things. He said, I just don't know what else to do. I'm at my wit's end. He said, I've talked. I'm blue in the face. I don't know what else to say. I said, brother, we're just going to have to quit talking and just start living Jesus in front of them. Let them see Christ in us, the hope of glory. Hey, let them not find anything in us, praise God, that would be a reproach to Christ. Amen. And then they'll have something to start building off of. We got to be an example to them. Amen. Praise God. But there's unbelief in our hometown because we're not that example that we ought to be. Amen. There's people all around us that are unbelievers, they're unfaithful, they're unchurched, unlearned, and ungodly because they don't have an example. Amen. Oh me. We need help. Praise the Lord. But the Lord Jesus, He said that even such mighty works are wrought by His hands. And they said, is this not the carpenter? The son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon. Amen. So much, wait a minute. This is Mother Jesus, married Mother Jesus. So much for her perpetual virginity, huh? Amen. He names all four brothers to Jesus right here, and not to mention his sisters that he had. Hello? Amen. Jesus had brothers and sisters. See, he wasn't just a perfect little fellow all by himself. You know, sometimes we can be a perfect little person all by ourselves, amen. You put you in a cocoon, you keep you in a bubble, amen, and you grow up and you're just perfect and ain't nobody there to influence you. Amen. Say a big brother. Amen. To influence you in any negative fashion. But you'd have a direction to go. But he had brothers and sisters also. Amen. He had the same... What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying he had the same aspect for living that we do, yet he lived without sin. Amen. Praise God. Because he was God. Because he was Jesus. He was a man, but not just any man. He was the man Christ Jesus. Amen? The man Christ Jesus. He tells us in 1 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 5. He said, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Amen. He said, a witness when the time was right, praise God. Can you see Jesus? He's a teacher. He's structured. They don't understand it, but the Lord Jesus Christ is telling them all about God the Father. The man Christ Jesus, praise God. Amen. And he said, and he goes on in verse 4 and said, he's even a man, praise God, but he's a man without honor in his own country. You know, sometimes it don't seem like we have a whole lot of influence on our own people, do we? I wonder why that is. I wonder why it is, Brother Scott, that it don't seem like we have an influence on our own people, the people that we know the best. Could it be that they know us pretty good too? Amen. They know who we are. They know how we act and react. They know what we say and what we do. Amen. So we see how Jesus Christ, praise God. And he said a man was without honor in his own country. Amen. There's three places he says that a man's without honor. Number one, he says it's in his own country. Amen. In his own country, where a man sets his root, where a man lives, where a man habitates. He said that's where, most of the time, that's where a man is most without honor, is where he lives. And it's most of the time because of how he lives. I like it. I like to hear stories where men, especially men of renown, men that's come through communities. They lived in a community for a while, and people know them and they recognize them, and they tell you, said, yeah, brother, son, he's a good man. The whole community loves him, but we think the world of him. Yeah, well, preacher, you got to be careful. Bible says, be wary of those that all men, a lot of men think well, to speak well of. Yeah, praise God. But I'm glad that there's some men, praise God, that somebody can speak well of because they do right. Never wrong to do right. Amen. But he said there's a place without honor. He said it's sometimes in a man's own country. And he said not only is it his own country, he said, but it's with his own kinfolk. Amen. Don't have much influence on our kinfolk. God help us that we'd have an influence on our kinfolk. You say, preacher, I just don't know how to get to them. Praise God, love them. Amen. You say, well, preacher, I don't even really like them. I didn't ask you to like them. Amen. I said, just love them. Amen. Love them in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. If you love them, praise God, they get right with God. Amen. Then you can like them. You say, well, preacher, that's backwards. Amen, praise God. Yeah, it's backwards in this world, praise God, but it'll work. We just love them, praise God, just love them. Hey, as Miss Peggy used to say, praise God, if you don't like your neighbor, praise God, bake her a cake. I asked her one time, she said, I said, Miss Peggy, what do you put in that cake? Amen. Said, you bake them a cake. You let them know that you appreciate them. Amen. Praise God. So they're not honored in their country, not honored in their kin, and they're not honored in their own house. Have you ever found places where you don't have any respect in your own home? You're not honored and reverenced in your own home? I mean, not respected in your own house? Jesus said this is what he found in Nazareth, his hometown. Amen. Unbelief in his own hometown. What we have, Brother Bill, is we have unbelief in our own hometown. We have it where we live. And we don't even recognize it. We don't wonder why it is this way. But it's because of unbelief. Because we just don't believe God can help us, believe God wants to help us, believe God will help us. Amen. If we'll just be mindful of Him. Praise God. So we begin to see God's trying to work. And we just gotta want to let Him. See, Jesus was wanting to work for these folks, but they just didn't want to let Him. Because of unbelief. Bible says in verse 5, it says this, and he could there do no mighty work. Amen. He said because of unbelief, he couldn't do the mighty works that he wanted. He wanted to go to Nazareth, praise God. He wanted to show his power. He wanted to manifest himself. He wanted to heal the sick, raise the dead, save the lost, praise God. He wanted to do everything that mankind needed. Amen. But because of unbelief, he couldn't. His hands were tied. Amen. You know, if we ain't careful tonight, church, we're tying the hands of God because of our own unbelief. We say, well, I don't know about that. I don't know if God ever do. Well, God, ain't nothing God can't do. Amen. Have you prayed about it? Yeah, preacher, I prayed about it, but I just really don't believe he can. Amen. You wasting your time. Amen. The Bible says we've got to pray believing that we might receive. Amen. Pray, God, I know you're able to take care of this situation. So what happens here, we see the Bible tells us he could do no mighty works. In other words, it hinders the work of God. Unbelief hinders God's work. So all he could do is heal a few sick folk. Amen, praise God. I'd like to have him just come through here one time. We got some sick folk. Amen. You say, well, that don't sound like much. Praise God, it's a whole lot if you're a sick folk. Amen. Praise God. You say, you know how he did that? Because I believe there were some folks at Nazareth, praise God, they believed the Lord Jesus Christ could heal them. Amen. Praise God. And they had faith to believe, got them out of their unbelief, and Jesus healed them.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. He was able to touch them. And but the Lord Jesus Christ, and let me just say this, and I'm done, he marveled at their unbelief because of their unbelief. He said, why don't they believe? All the wonderful works that's done, why don't they believe? Well, same reason me and you won't. Amen. So same reason our faith is weak. We're in unbelief because we just won't. But the Bible said Jesus didn't give up and he didn't give up on them. It said he marveled because of their unbelief. But now watch this. So he just turned around and left Nazareth and never looked back. What? No, the Bible said, and he went round about the villages teaching. Amen. He said, praise God. He said, they don't believe, but said, I'm going to give them something to believe. I'm going to tell them the truth, that the truth might make them free. Amen. Unbelief. He came in unbelief. There was unbelief in his hometown. And Jesus says, praise God, I've got to fix this. Amen, Brother Bill. He said, hey, nobody wants to believe. Praise God. I'm going to tell them the truth. I'm going to share it with them anyway. So that they might come to believe before it's eternally too late. So he began to preach them the gospel of Jesus Christ. He began a door-to-door ministry. Amen. I had a fellow tell me a while back, he said, preacher, I don't know why you preachers go and knock on doors and visit and try to tell people about the Lord. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, that's what churches are for. I said, churches are where we come together to worship and learn of the Lord so we can come out here and do this. Amen. So we can go out and minister to people. Go out and work in the field. The fields are ripe already to harvest. Amen. But because of unbelief in your hometown, souls ain't being saved. You say, preacher, what do we got to do to make a difference? We just got to start sharing the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ with everybody we see. Let me say this in closing. What are we, I'll ask you a question in closing. What are we afraid of? What are we afraid of? Well, preacher, somebody might get in my face. Somebody might. So? They might get mad at me. So? That's all they can do. Amen. They haven't started killing us yet. Amen. But unbelief in our hometowns are because we haven't shared the gospel with people in our hometown, in our communities, in our neighborhoods, telling people about Jesus. Letting them know where we stand, taking a stand and say, this is where we are. We got our faith and trust in Lord Jesus Christ. See, they don't understand. They're way off here somewhere in a far, far land, a land far, far away, but it's because they just don't know. They don't know. They don't understand. They've never had the gospel. They don't know the Lord Jesus Christ and the free pardon of sin. Amen. But when we share the gospel with them, tell them about Jesus, then that unbelief, that hometown, praise God, can become a place where we can live in habitation together for God's glory. Amen. God's got a plan that goes full circle. And he says, go out and highway his and compel him to come in that his house might be full, praise God, so that we can get in glory and we can just shout and praise God together forever. That's his plan. But unbelief is in our hometown. It's around us. It's around all around us now. This used to be the Bible Belt of America, right here where we live. Amen. And somebody unbuckled the belt. Amen. And we've let everything in the world in. But we got to ask God to help us again, to tighten it back up. Amen. These folks moved in here with all these radical beliefs, radical ideologies, but we've got to stand up for what's right and say, you know, this is what thus says the Word of God. Run into a fellow the other day and he was talking about something. I said, well, that's not what God says. Amen. I said, that's not what God says. God says ever life is a sanctity of life, ever life. Amen. Red, yellow, black, or white, amen. We're all the same. You realize the only difference between us and the African American, so-called African American, is a pigmentation of the skin. It's the only difference. Because there's only one race, and that's a human race. Now, these people got mad at me for saying that before, so-called Christians, the fundamental independent Bible-believing people. But there's only one race, it's a human race. And there's only one people, it's humanity. Amen. And if we love each other, praise God, it don't matter what color we are. It matters what the love that we have for Lord Jesus Christ, amen, and salvation of our souls, because every soul is important to Him. You say, preacher, how do you know? Because old Philip was in the middle of a revival meeting, and praise God, the Holy Spirit spoke to him. He flew out of there, went down there and waited in the desert to that Ethiopian driving through there. Candace, treasurer, amen, flagged him down, jumped up in there with him, said he was reading the book of Isaiah. He said, hey, do you understand what you're reading? He said, how can I except some man explain it to me? He led in there and began to tell him about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Death, burial, and resurrection, saving power of God. And then he was an Ethiopian. I guess, by all my recollection, that would have been probably a dark-skinned feller. But Jesus sent Philip all the way down there to the desert to win that old dark-skinned feller for the glory of God. But I said, that say this, praise God, we're all alike. And we love Lord Jesus Christ. They love Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And we can go through this life shouting and praising Him together. Amen.